While there's a consensus on the need to address homelessness in Australia, a long-term funding plan remains elusive. It's considered an expensive problem to fix, but a new report says it costs more to allow people to continue sleeping rough. Researchers at Melbourne University commissioned SGS Economics and Planning to conduct a cost-benefit analysis of the problem. SGS Senior Associate Ellen Witt was the lead author, and she joins me now. Ellen, thank you for your time this evening. How much does it cost the community for a person to be homeless for a year? And how do you calculate that cost?
Basically, good evening. We've looked at what are the typical costs and issues that homeless people are dealing with, and what we see, they're exposed to a lot of healthcare issues. So they are there's a higher need for healthcare and emergency admissions. They're more often involved in crime, either as a victim or a perpetrator, and they are less able, of course, to access the jobs market and relying on income support. So if you provide people with a roof over their heads, all those costs go down. There will be less healthcare costs, a lower crime rate and all that. And we've calculated that on an annual basis, each person receiving a roof over their heads, it's a saving to society of $10,800 per annum.
Who gets that benefit, the homeless person or the community? How does that benefit manifest?
Yeah, most of those benefits actually flow to the community. So we calculated that 75% of those benefits accrue to the community, so society as a whole, in terms of less pressure on the health system and less people in prison and things like that. And the remainder 25% is, of course, that the people that are then provided with a roof over their heads, their quality of life improves significantly.
So, last resort accommodation is by its nature unsuitable as a long-term solution for most people. Did you look at the costs of more permanent solutions?
We did not specifically look at that. We really looked at, well, what if there's no other way, people are really at risk of sleeping rough, what can you then do? And we specifically looked at last resort housing. Needless to say, of course, why is there such an increase in the number of people on the streets and requiring last resort housing? Well, first of all, you mentioned earlier housing affordability. That's actually a key driver pushing people out of the homes. Then there's a whole group of people trying to escape domestic violence, and they often also end up being on the streets, which is horrible. And then importantly, and that links into your question, is the lack of social housing. There's a structural undersupply of social housing, which is permanent housing for low and very low income groups. And there's, of course, a significant problem underlying there as well.
The Victorian government announced it would act as a guarantor for up to $1 billion worth of low-interest loans to help registered housing associations secure new social and affordable housing stock. Is that good investment from the perspective of this report and your research?
Yes, I would fully support that. There is a significant need for more social housing. Nonetheless, there will always be a need also for last resort housing. So we very much call on the government to invest in purpose-built facilities and to work together with the not-for-profit sector and community housing providers to provide a whole suite of services. Once people have a roof over their heads, you can actually start working with them, trying to address other issues they may be dealing with around mental health, substance abuse, and hopefully also get people back in the workforce and provide them education.
How much housing is needed to fix the structural undersupply of low-cost housing? Because we hear that this is a significant issue. That must need a significant response.
Yeah, that's true. So if we look at social housing in Victoria, we actually think that there needs to be three times as much social housing. I think it's around 3% now, and our estimate at SGS is that 10% of total housing stock should actually be social housing. In addition to that, we see that in Victoria there are around, and these are estimates, 7,600 people homeless, and last resort housing would be required initially to try and keep those people off the streets and then transition them in more permanent housing.
the primary problem housing, homelessness organisation, housing organisations as well face is the high cost of providing housing in cities like Melbourne and Sydney, where house prices are rising rapidly. That's another kind of parallel issue in some ways. Yep. Is bringing down the cost of housing the only way to fix that?
It's an important thing to look at. Housing affordability is a real big issue, and there's a lot of people experiencing housing stress on a daily basis. And once you start experiencing housing stress, you're spending so much on rent or your mortgage repayments that there's actually not enough money left to pay for food, heating or cooling, education for the children, transport to get to work and things like that. Housing affordability in general needs to be addressed. There's a need for more social housing, and then in addition to that, there's a need to invest in last resort housing.
And finally, we've seen Melbourne City Council introduce very controversial bylaws essentially aimed at getting homeless people to move on, off the streets. What impact is that going to have on this problem?
We've not specifically reviewed this policy measure that Melbourne City Council came up with. In the end, it's really up to the community and government to decide what they're going to do with that. I guess what we would advocate for is to try, if you want to really structurally get people off the streets and provide them a way into the future, is to provide them a roof over their heads. And from there, you can structurally start working on solving the issue.
Ellen, thank you so much for coming on RN Drive tonight.
It was my pleasure. Thank
you. That's Ellen Witt, a senior associate with SGS Economics and Planning, who've conducted the first cost-benefit analysis of Sleeping Rough.